This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We'll finish up our little talk on the Nanking massacre here, and then we'll get back to some war politics. What did they arrest these guys for down in Atlanta? A very interesting story before we get to that and so much more. Let's finish up our little story. And if you missed the background on what I'm talking about here, the Nanking massacre, World War II, you have to go download the podcast. I'm not recapping the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, it's all free. Go download it. Enjoy it. The Japanese had the Chinese army on the run. They are killing, as I mentioned, every Chinese person they can get their hands on along the way. Wiping out whole villages, cutting people's heads off. Real medieval stuff. It's ugly. In Nanking, they understand it's a situation that we Americans, at least modern day Americans, cannot relate to at all. The situation in Nanking is the government has to leave because the army that's coming cannot be stopped. Isn't that ominous to think about? It's I can't relate to it. You most likely, I know we have international listeners and people from different walks of life, so maybe you can, but most born and bred Americans listening right now, that's probably you, you can't relate to what that feeling would be. They are in Nanking, a major city, and they cannot stop the army that is rampaging its way toward the city, and they know it. Now, it's not as if they don't try to dig in and do what they can, but the government just packs it up. It's best of luck, boys. They try to organize a defense, but the defense is they're conscripting civilians. I mean, imagine a division of Chinese military. China invades the country. There's a Chinese division heading towards your town, and you're knocking on all your neighbors' doors and grabbing them and putting a rifle in their hands and saying, hey, here's a couple mags and a rifle. Time to go fight the Chinese. That's the situation. They don't fight very well, and they don't fight very long, nor would they be expected to. That's no insult to the character or the courage of the Chinese people, but they're collapsing at this point in time. They have no military ability to stop this Japanese army. Japanese army storms into Nanking. And we already said how you act when your blood is up. We already said the war of racial superiority the Japanese were fighting. Well, now you've conquered this city. You own it almost in its entirety. We'll get to that in a moment. You own this city almost in its entirety. And not only are you not held back by your officers from doing horrible things, you are encouraged to do those horrible things. We have the writings. We have the memos that, hey, you can bury a bunch of bodies here. Let's kill a bunch of people here. Let's kill a bunch of people there. Let's massacre a bunch of people here. And you know how they were already treating women and I mean, honestly, babies. It was... Don't go look up pictures unless you have a very, very strong stomach of the things they did rampaging through this place for weeks. Now, I said they almost had complete control of the city. You know that guy, John Rabe, the Nazi? He was in control. He was in command of a refugee zone. And remember, Japan and Nazi Germany, they were allies, so the Japanese were not going to go kill John Rabe or tell him to get out of the way. In fact, they weren't really going to tell him anything because, I mean, there was a pecking order in that relationship and the Japanese were not on top of it. Let's put it that way. So he has some authority here, but not total authority. They're not going to kill him. They're not going to hurt him. He is in command of a refugee zone. Just think of it like a block. It was bigger than that, but think of it like a block, a city block of, if you are a Chinese person, whoever you are, come on in here and you'll have sanctuary here in this place. Now, I said I was going to say some things that's going to make it sound like I'm defending the Japanese. I'm not, but I am explaining. There are a bunch of Chinese soldiers hiding amongst the civilian population. Chinese soldiers who have fled from the battle, dropped their weapons, found an old school t-shirt, threw it on, and now they're pretending to be civilians. The Japanese are after these guys for obvious reasons. These guys also show up in this refugee zone for obvious reasons. They don't want their heads chopped off and thrown into the river. So they start chucking grenades into the refugee zone. Get this. One of those weird little historical tidbits, and then we're getting back to some politics. John Robbie, the Nazi, was very heroic in this story. Heroic in his defense of the slaughter of innocent people. So adamant that he would protect these innocent people that he was running this stuff up his chain of command, saying, hey, these guys are acting like freaking animals down here. Hey, we got to get these guys to back off. Hey, they're raping women and children. I bet you never thought you'd hear a story where the Nazi was the good guy in the story. But in this little tale, he very much was. Honestly, it was heroic. It was heroic at this point in time. So what the death toll was, I don't know. And that's the funny part. The funny part, it's not funny, I guess. But that's the thing about the massacre of Nanking, the rape of Nanking, whatever they call it. This is, to this day, hotly disputed between the Chinese and the Japanese. We mentioned America's university system earlier in the show and how it poisons young minds against the country and how evil that is. And we mentioned Japan's, which really goes the extreme opposite direction. Maybe for some people too extreme. I don't think so, but too extreme in the opposite direction. Go, Japan, go! In Japan, they'll tell you, oh, I mean 50,000 people died. 50,000. Yeah, some things got out of hand, but it certainly wasn't this widespread massacre that everyone's making it out to be. That's the Japanese version of this. The Chinese version, as you can imagine, is completely the opposite. The Chinese will tell you 300,000 people were massacred and raped and tortured here, and that the Japanese still need to take public ownership of this whole thing, and it was the worst thing that had ever been done before. What's the truth? We'll never know. What have we been talking about when it comes to Israel and Iran and all this other stuff? In war, the first casualty is the truth. We will never know the truth of many, many things. We'll never know total body counts. We'll never know that. There's a bunch we do know because of what was written down by, honestly, the Japanese at the time. We know they were massacring Chinese. We know they were doing it on purpose. We know that they were discussing locations of mass graves. We know that stuff took place. How widespread, we don't know. But the Japanese army in World War II did this everywhere they went. Everywhere they went. They did it to our people. They did it to the Brits, the Australians. They did it, oh my gosh, they did horrible, horrible things across the Pacific and the Philippines. Just, this is what they did. This is how they conducted themselves. So it's not exactly a stretch to imagine 50,000 is probably a little light. But that's not how it's presented there. All right. Well, you know what? One more thing along the lines of, in war, the truth is the first casualty. Let's talk about this reporting once again, about the bunker buster bombs. We were initially told that it took out Iran's nuclear program. Now, CNN, famously liars at CNN, They're saying this.
That it was produced by the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the Pentagon's intelligence arm. And it is worth noting that it is a very early assessment. The strikes were only a matter of days ago, and the intelligence community is still gathering intelligence. They are still working to come up with a full, comprehensive picture of what exactly happened here. But based on a battle damage assessment that was carried out by U.S. Central Command, essentially looking at the images and looking at what was actually damaged, the Defense Intelligence Agency has assessed that the core components of Iran's nuclear program are largely intact, and that Iran's
they don't know that. But I'm going to tell you something that probably won't be popular, but it's true. Nobody knows. Those facilities are so deep underground, and there's such a mountain of rubble on top of them right now. As somebody burrowed under the ground to check the status of everything? Of course not. Here's the truth. We want to say they're obliterated, and they probably are, but we want to say they're obliterated. America haters like CNN say, no, they weren't obliterated at all. Nobody really knows. You don't. I don't. Intelligence doesn't. Pentagon doesn't. Israel doesn't. Iran doesn't. CNN most definitely doesn't. Nobody knows. That's how it goes. That rhymed, Chris. Did you see? Nobody knows. That's how it goes. Chris, I'm going to use that again. Don't roll your eyes. No, Chris, the job doesn't suck. You're blessed to work here. You are so blessed to work, to be in my presence. And have you ever considered this? Maybe some of my testosterone is rubbing off on you and producer Corey because I have so much of it. When you've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for 3 years, I have to assume at this point in time that when I walk in the room, you know that saying that rising tide raises all boats? Maybe just my presence raises everyone's T levels. I like to think that anyway. Do you want to feel like that? You want to feel good all the time, full of energy? Why don't you try some natural herbal supplements? Put down the needles. Stop going to the clinic. Natural herbal supplements. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call them, text them, 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show, on air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Joy Reid got done shaving her head and went on CNN and said this.
In the United States,
it's crazy that you're,
people
like,
who are
go away,
LGBTQ people can't even serve in the military under the president you prefer.
Okay, but
under,
they are
they're only a little bit. They're only a little bit discriminated against.
We're not killing them.
They're allowed to live, but they're not allowed to serve in the United States military. They're being persecuted. They can't have their stories told in school. The United States is not exactly a beacon of human rights for gay people.
That's interesting, because I'm looking at this story from Atlanta. Atlanta's crime wave? Question mark? Nah, let's chase down the flag scuffers. A group of teens, there are four of them, from 16 to 19. They're about to be charged with hate crimes because they were skidding out on their rainbow crosswalk and tearing up and burning the pride flags. Now, I only brought this up to point out once again that communism is a religion. It is a religion, and it does not tolerate other religions. There are plenty of religions in the world that can exist alongside other religions. Competing religions, either. All kinds of religions in the world that do that. Communism does not operate that way, has never operated that way, will never operate in that way. That's why they go right after the churches. That's why they will flat out prosecute you if you disagree with them. That's why they will demand your public subservience to whatever insane thing they're rolling out there. That's why you can torch an American flag. You can scream and yell at a pastor. You can harass a bunch of Christians celebrating Jesus in Seattle. But if you happen to skid out your truck on one of these LGBTQ pride crosswalks, they will bring down the justice system on you like a sledgehammer, because communism does not share religion with anyone else. And most definitely, the LGBTQ aspect of American communism, they will defend themselves. And they will and are going after the American church. That's what blows me away about so many of these skinny jeans wearing losers in America's churches, acting as if we can just coexist. We should just all get along. War has been declared on you, whether or not you want to believe it, pal. They have already declared war on you. They are coming. You can either prepare your flock or you will get overrun. All right, let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse. Do you think there are ancient civilizations or evidence in the Forbidden Zone in the Grand Canyon? Well, this all comes down to how old you think the world is. I will say this, I've said it before, something that is really, really hit home for me, and it really hit home for me when I finally went to Rome. All this ancient Rome stuff, ancient Rome this and ancient Rome that, it's buried. Do you know how much of ancient Rome you'll never lay eyes on because it's 20, 30 feet below the current ground of Rome? There's obviously a bunch of reasons for this, but ancient societies, older societies, they get buried underneath the physical ground as new things are built on top, and wind and erosion and floods. And there's a whole laundry list of reasons for this. But if you want to excavate like a portion of ancient Rome to discover the ancient Rome that's underneath it, you're going to need a backhoe, pal. You're going to need shovels. It's down there. Here's a little thought, because I don't know about the Grand Canyon, but here's a little thought. How much ancient ground have you stepped on and didn't know it? I had a buddy. He lives in Alexandria, Virginia. And that's a really old colonial American Revolution part of the country, as you know. And he's got this little townhouse in town. And he showed me, I went over his house, he showed me, took me downstairs, and then he has a basement, but then he has a crawl space under the basement. Now, this is probably 15 feet at least below street level. Takes me down into this crawl space and shows me what was a bathroom in a colonial house back in the Revolutionary War times. History gets buried. I know it is awesome, Chris. I know. I couldn't fit in it because everybody was a big shorty back then. A big shorty, that doesn't make sense. Everybody was tiny back then, so I couldn't really fit inside of it. You basically had to get down on your hands and knees, but yeah. How about that? Let's talk about what Governor Murphy of New Jersey said.
Today marks the difficult anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Unlike the United States Supreme Court, we in New Jersey will always defend reproductive freedoms. That is why long before the Dobbs decision was issued, I signed historic legislation codifying the right to an abortion in our state. 3 years after Dobbs, New Jersey remains just as committed to ensuring that every woman has access to the full range of reproductive health services.
There really are two different Americas, aren't there? I hate that, but there are. Do you want to learn more about that whole Revolutionary War stuff? What about the Constitution? I know you've read it. I know you know it. Do you want to learn about it? I mean, really learn. Why is this portion in there? Did anybody argue over this? I don't understand why that is in there. Hillsdale will teach you all this for free. At no cost. Hillsdale College, one of the few universities you can trust in this country. They have all these great professors, all this wisdom, and they don't want to just keep it for the paying students. They give out large quantities of it for free to you and me. And yes, that rhymed, and I did that on purpose. When you go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, more than 40 courses online at no cost. Did you hear that, Chris? You don't have to pay a penny. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Check out their newest one, Understanding Capitalism. Of all the amazing courses they have, I think that's the one I get the most emails about. It's amazing. It really is something. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Let's talk about ice and rice next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's do some Shogun of Pink Flowers. I have heard you repeatedly state that rice is terrible. Do you not like Chinese food? Orange chicken, Mongolian beef? Okay, stop. Stop. They drop bags of rice on poor countries, okay? You know why? Because it's cheap, garbage, filler food. And you said orange chicken and Mongolian beef with rice is excellent. Okay. What's the best part of it? Is it the rice that makes it good? Mongolian beef is delicious. I don't have to add rice to it. The rice itself adds nothing whatsoever. Rice is garbage. And so don't tell me, don't email me, by the way, and say, you haven't had my chicken fried rice. Yes, I know. Fried chicken's delicious. The little eggs that are in chicken fried rice is delicious. I've had mass quantities of chicken fried rice, and the rice has been the worst part of it every single freaking time. You can deep fry anything and add eggs and chicken and onions and a bunch of yummy stuff, and it will be delicious. That does not make rice delicious. White rice is delicious. How could you even say that? Jesse, every day I see these communists doing everything they can to impede ICE from arresting and deporting the millions of illegals in this country that must go home. Today I saw the Los Angeles Dodgers are now aiding and abetting them too. When will Trump's team suspend habeas corpus or declare martial law? Okay, this comes back to something we touched on a little bit in the beginning, in the first hour. So I want to approach this in the same way, but on a different subject. Why doesn't Trump just declare martial law or something like that? We are looking at the state of affairs in parts of the country, parts of our government, and we are mortified, and we want someone to step in right now and fix it. But, okay, let's follow down this road. Let's say Trump, which he can't, but let's say Trump declares martial law. Martial law in Los Angeles. Military is in full command of Los Angeles. We are going to round up and deport every single illegal. In fact, martial law in America until every illegal is deported. Okay. All right. And let's say he does it. He locks down the country for a year, 2 years, military run country, and he manages to round up and deport every single illegal. Okay. All right. How'd all these illegals get here? And legals. How did all these foreigners get here? More importantly, why did they get here? Our country has been overrun by mass immigration because large quantities of America, of American politicians, of American states, American cities, want the border of the country open. Either they just hate the country and they want the criminals to come in and murder and rape Americans. That's a big part of it. Sometimes it's purely about electoral politics and power. Congressman wants 200,000 illegals counted in the census, but the reasons aren't important for the purpose of our little mental experiment here. We have a country full of millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of foreigners because millions and millions and millions of Americans want millions and millions and millions of foreigners in the country. How many people in the United States of America, American citizens, think like this?
If we can't get produce out of these fields or apples out of these orchards or, you know, salads out of the Salinas Valley in Northern California, I mean, they will rot in the fields. They will not get to where they need to go.
How many Americans think like that? I don't have an exact number, and I don't have an exact percentage, but I think you and I would both agree that it's pretty high, especially Americans who are in positions of power that will allow them to do that. So following our little mental experiment, let's say Donald Trump declares martial law and deports every illegal and everything's hunky-dory. All the illegals are gone. Who's still here? Who's still here are legions and legions of Americans who will just turn around and open up the border all over again. All over again. What Joe Biden did, I've explained this, what the communists around Joe Biden did, but what Joe Biden did, 4 years of not just opening up the border and doing everything humanly possible to bring in as many people as they possibly could on purpose. They flew them in here. The United States government, with your tax dollars, created an app so illegals could more easily schedule their invasion of your country. Every single refugee program, parole program, everything they could do to fill up this country with foreigners, they did for 4 years. Now, if you were to declare martial law and deport every single illegal, do you think you're going to change the heart or the mind of a single one of the dirty commies who just filled up your country with 20 million illegals in 4 years? You know that they're going to do that again when they take power again, and they will eventually. And I don't know when that will be. I don't think it's 2028, so don't get down and out. When they take power again, they'll do the same thing. And you could say, well, Jesse, no, they wouldn't, because it cost them the election. It may have cost them an election, but it may have won them a country. The mass importation of foreigners is the only reason we still have a Democrat Party. Without them, there is no Adam Schiff. There is no Ilhan Omar. There is no Mandani in New York City. Without the mass importation of foreigners, there is no President Joe Biden. The Democrat Party's power base are mass imported foreigners. They're not that sorry they lost one election. Don't get me wrong. They wish they hadn't. They hate Donald Trump. They're mad about the whole thing. But let me ask you, just honestly ask them, if you're a Democrat right now and you hate America and you want Democrats to reign forever, while they burn the country down. Joe Biden imported 20 million foreigners, and because he did that, you lost the presidency. On a long-term basis, was that a success or a failure? Did they fail because Donald Trump won the election? How many of the 20 million people Joe Biden brought in will Donald Trump be able to deport in 4 years? We are currently on, I think we're on a 3 million pace, maybe. Maybe 3 million. But let me be super, super generous, because I'm such a nice guy. Just ask Chris. Let's be super generous and say Trump is going to be able to deport 5 million people. So they imported 15, or they imported 20. We deported 5. I know I had to drop algebra a few times in community college, but even my math skills tell me that pencils out pretty well for Democrats, doesn't it? We want short-term solutions to long-term problems. Our long-term problem is we have enough Americans that hate America that they will continue to vote Democrats, and the Democrats hate America enough that they will continue to bring in mass foreigners. That's the bottom line. Until that changes, we're just treading water until that changes. We're trying to keep our head above water while we try to change that so we can survive as a country. It's just a fact. We're going to do some headlines next. Going to do some emails next. Got all kinds of emails. Somebody even wants to say something really quickly about America's generals before we do that. Speaking of the military, Independence Day is right around the corner, and I know you love it the way I love it. Have you nominated the veteran in your life to receive a free flag from Pure Talk yet? PureTalk.com/nominate. You know a veteran. You have one in your family. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. It means a lot. It means more than you know. When someone, it's honestly more than just a flag, that someone thought to nominate you to receive an Allegiance flag, an American-made American flag. And this kind of stuff is why I love Pure Talk, man. The last time we had a talk like this about Pure Talk, they were raising money to help veterans, medical care and debt and things like that. While the other cell phone companies are celebrating Pride Month, Pure Talk's doing things like this. Do you think maybe you should switch your cell phone service? You think you should put your money where your morals are? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, thank you for the history lesson on Alexander the Great. That was entirely well done. I see what you did there, buddy. I did not nod off in my recliner listening to you. Oh, thanks. Do you think we have anyone in today's American military that is capable of such bravery, strategic and tactical brilliance? Probably not. But remember this about Alexander the Great. Dudes love Alexander the Great. It's hard not to be fascinated by someone who conquered everything in front of him, never lost a battle, so young. He has a lot of qualities dudes admire. I get that. But he was also essentially made in a lab to be that guy. And I'm not going to go over the history story again, because we already did that on the show, but just think of his father, this incredible conqueror. Not just an incredible conqueror, but his father put his son through conqueror's boot camp. You know, Aristotle comes to tutor him. He's making him tough with different guys. His mom is tough as nails. He inherits the greatest army on the planet. He was created in a lab, essentially created in a lab to be an incredible conqueror. I'm not saying that diminishes what he did at all, but you ask about the American military. We don't have a society like that, and I don't know that we necessarily want a society like that. We have some brilliant people in our military. There's no question about it. Really brilliant, brave, sharp people in our military, but it's different. I'll just put it to you that way. It's different. Hey, Jesse, why is the left so good at changing while the right just sucks? The media and the Dems are out there saying this guy in Minnesota, he's talking about that assassin, is a right winger when he's obviously a communist. So I think that's actually a little bit too hard on the right. And you know that this is me. I'm famously hard on the right. I think the right is getting better at not buying in to the communist narratives. How many times have you heard me scream into the microphone when I watch our side help them with their narrative? The left, they would come out with a narrative, whatever it is. George Floyd. George Floyd was killed by that cop, and America's cops are racist against black people. Well, I was watching as that fire was building. And I was hoping for some sort of unified locking of the shields from the right. Instead, we got exactly the opposite. We had a bunch of people on the right, elected officials, people in the media, pouring gasoline on that fire, losing control of the narrative. I don't see that as much now. Now, granted, there hasn't been an issue that has created a national firestorm like that one did since then. And I'm not so sure that can happen now. Because of all the trust and credibility the communists burnt up during all that insanity, I don't know if they have enough of the trust of the American people now to create outrage like that again. I think, I don't want to call it their last hurrah, but I think it was maybe one of the last times in your lifetime you're going to see insanity like that, catch hold like that, and spread like that. I remember they took the Indian chick off of the Lando Lakes butter. Chris, do you remember that? Lando Lakes butter. I know you're not going to believe this, kids. Lando Lakes butter used to have an Indian chick on there, and they took her off. They took her off during the thing. Poor Aunt Jemima got axed off the pancake mix. It was completely bonkers what happened. The country collectively lost its mind all at once. It was wild. Wild to see. Speaking about wild to see, I'm still having a hard time with this here.
Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children?
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay? No.
He did
it very affectionately. He, daddy, you're my daddy.
Is anyone else a little weirded out? I say this knowing that different cultures use that term differently, but daddy? They called him daddy? Now, I've got a couple buddies from Georgia who will actually refer to their father, their dad, as daddy. So I've heard of that before in certain parts of the world. But Chris, am I out of line in thinking that's really weird, Chris? Okay, even Chris is backing me up on that. It's weird, I'm uncomfortable, and I don't feel right. I don't feel right at all.
And now...
Here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Outrageous threats. Tom Holman's family is targeted over immigration crackdown. Tom Holman is going to need security for himself and his family for the rest of his life because he is deporting illegals. Doesn't that kind of creep you out? UN nuclear watchdog chief, night and day difference between Iran's nuclear capabilities before and after U.S. strikes. Yes, dropping an entire mountain on top of a facility does tend to, hold it back a little bit. Trump says he will make Spain pay on trade for resisting NATO spending hike. I'm not so sure that Spain isn't going to have another civil war. I know that's not a country that anybody really cares about, myself included, but I'm here to tell you the dirty commies have once again taken over Spain, and we're starting to see mass demonstrations in the streets, and maybe Franco number two will rise. Buenas tardes to all of you. Trump says NATO spending pledge a monumental win for the U.S. It's crazy that it takes Donald Trump to get elected to actually get NATO to do and spend what they agreed to do and spend. Trump hoping for a comprehensive peace agreement with Iran. And Trump came out earlier, a couple hours ago, and said China's allowed to buy Iranian oil from now. Look, you didn't think that ceasefire just came because Donald Trump made a phone call, right? He was making a deal. Let's hope the peace lasts. If I sound skeptical, I am. But for now, nobody's dying. We'll take it. All right? We'll do this again tomorrow. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.